Welcome back to the Write Up Podcast. Tom Castadega, joined as always by the writer himself, Rhino Gray. Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back, man. It's good to be back. Thank you for everyone joining in, tuning in with us. We got a big, big episode for our comeback, the relaunch, whatever you want to call it. We got big things ahead. Tom, tell them.
We have some big news today that's going to change a bit the direction of the Write Up Pod. So stick around later in the episode and we're going to drop that news. But with that being said, you know, we got a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about today. And moving into like our first segment, actually something we have been talking about. AEW is all in again in Wembley. And it seems like they're going to outsell SummerSlam. What's your thoughts on Wembley and how they're late delaying matches coming out and all the craziness that's been around it? What's your thoughts?
I'm not going to say that I'm like bitter. Like, you know, I'm happy that this is doing something positive because it helps out the whole thing of professional wrestling. If they're going to make a big deal about these advance sales and tickets or whatever, then they better have a just as good or better presentation than what SummerSlam 92 was. Because SummerSlam 92 is kind of like very rememberable just because of the atmosphere and the crowd, and it was new. I can very much say with confidence that whatever their main event's going to be, not going to top the main event. MJF and I love them both, but they're not going to touch Bulldog Brett.
Now they added I don't know if you knew this, but now they added that stipulation with the pre-show. They're challenging Aussie Open for the ROH World Tag Team titles on the pre-show. Adam Cole and MJF are. And then they're fighting each other for the world title in the main event.
So they're doing that night. Holy shit. Okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm. That was announced Wednesday on Dynamite.
That's insane. I mean, sure. you know me. Brett Bulldog is like sacred ground. Yeah. Sacred ground, just because it was just everything you want in a wrestling match.
You would have loved this year's SummerSlam Elites because they do a Elite series based on the big four pay-per-views every year. And this year's SummerSlam Elites were Brett and Bulldog. Bulldog with the cloth cape.
The cornrows?
The cornrows, the exact outfit, everything. And Brett was the chase and had the black top with the pink pants and the pink pants with the black top. And,
I have to be scouring for that. I don't care where I gotta find it. I'm gonna have to get my hands on it.
They were in stores a little while back before summer, like in spring. And so, I mean, you might still be able to find some somewhere, but you might have to look online in the secondary market now, which they shouldn't be too bad. I'm talking like maybe like $25, $30 type of deal.
Manageable.
Yeah. So those would be awesome figures to add to your collection since you're starting.
Yeah, I'm picking up and definitely will. I mean, from what I've seen, it's that we're finally getting the rubber match, I think.
They announced that on Wednesday. After the Young Bucks beat the Hardys, they go and they signal for microphones. They get the microphones, and all of a sudden, Matt Jackson goes, FTR! And then they came out, and they had a standoff, and then the Young Bucks just go, all in. Then FTR said, okay, and then the match was set. A rubber match for the tag titles.
Okay, we'll see how that goes. We'll see. I'll leave it at that. I know, which is insane, because I don't even say the sentence. Swerve and AR Fox are on the card because they're going to work with Darby and Sting for the Nick Wayne kid. I'm like, oh, okay, And there's something with Omega next week with JR that's supposed to announce something for the following week. I don't know if
I
that's a rubber
guarantee
match with
we're
Ospreay.
getting, we're gonna get Osprey Omega. That's what I'm thinking. I just, well, no, see, I did just, I'm not kidding. It's, and this is what I hate about spoilers, is because I just seen something today again that they're talking about Jericho Osprey for the IWGP US title at All In. So I don't know if they're gonna go that Jericho route or maybe create a change since the whole Jericho Society's falling apart. You know what I mean?
Then
I.
do that with the Callis family thing that's starting up. I would much rather I would think the brain trust there would be like, we need to pivot and do that, because if you're gonna have Will be on the card in like his home nation, the only match that's suitable if he's not going for a championship is the rubber match. And then you can get all the and then get the trilogy in 1 year, wrap it in a nice bow, and we move on. Or there's a torch pass or whatever they have to do.
That Forbidden Door match was still like, see, I won't sit here and say anything about being overhyped or anything ignorant, nothing like that.
No.
But it was one of those things that people couldn't wait for it to happen just to go to a Cornette fan and be like, look, you know what I mean? You don't think this is good? And then if the minute you're like, well, no, it's not really my style. It's you're out of touch, you know, you don't know wrestling, you know, that's that wrestling style's dead. And
And that's exactly what that I not even that match, but just that card,
yeah,
that whole
like,
concept of Forbidden Door
and that's
was
why I
just
said, like,
kind of like a thing to turn on to the
a
Cornette
small section of an
crowd, the
audience.
Bischoff crowd, and all that shit, and say, see, like, this is awesome. Like, really? Like, you know, I think it was Sonata against Jack Perry. Is that really that good? Is
No,
that really
no.
that good?
And even Sonata said that he was like, AEW couldn't find a better challenger for the IWGP title than this kid that I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh shit, you know what I mean? Like, they, because over there, they don't give a fuck. They just cut real
No.
ass promos. They're like,
Yup.
fuck you, you know? Like, they don't care. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. And the. Anyway, continue.
But
The
no, I
rubber
just
match.
the rubber match we got. So yeah, it's taken them a couple weeks out from actual the date to finally give us the card. And yeah, it's impressive that it's impressive they've sold the tickets without naming a match, but I hope they realize that like they always do pretty good stuff like this, but it's always been the follow-through that's been where it gets a little jumbled up. And considering that this is like a big deal, like this is a super big deal for them, like they need to really follow through and get this right. Because if it's just another AEW half-cocked presentation, and then you have that, and then what, a week later it's all out in, well, let's be honest, hostile territory. Yeah. So fingers crossed they really will like tighten up the ship and just get the follow-through right on this show. But we've got 4 years of evidence that tells us
I mean,
something's gonna go awry.
I had been thinking about it, okay? And I thought maybe they're gonna end up swerving us all. They,
Continue.
Punk has a match against somebody at the show, defends
Doesn't he
his
have a
belt.
match with Joe?
It might be.
Or that's what they've been teasing
Yeah.
on Collision anyway, some kind of
Well, he just
confrontation.
got out of, I don't know if you're caught up to date, but he just got out of that Ricky Starks feud.
Yeah.
Okay. But see, I think maybe, you know, Punk will have a match, win, retain, MJF. The whole Adam Cole thing will happen or whatever. Maybe the match ends clean and him and Adam Cole are still okay and there's not a breakup, which everybody's thinking, or something like that. And then at the end of the show, MJF standing tall, Punk comes out or something, or even interferes in the match. They have like a stare down to end the show. Who knows? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, they could give us something like that, setting up not even at four all out, but like for later on down the line, MJF and Punk for one undisputed title. But you have to let that cook a little bit. Am I right?
I would think so because that would be, I don't know if that's the rematch or the rubber match, but either way, you would want that to be your marquee thing. So I don't think you would just like, okay, like let's jam it into 5 days and let's get it into All Out Chicago, and then we don't do it at Revolution Double or Nothing next year, which I would think would be the ideal spot to get the payoff there, is at Double or Nothing next year. So that gives them what, 8 months, eight, 6, 8 months to
Yeah.
really let that brew up, since me and you probably know the of obvious big cash cow angle's not gonna happen probably. So, and
Well,
then
that was the other thing. Now teasing with the Bucks and FTR, and then the announcement with Omega, maybe they are going to turn us, and that's what I was saying about these different swerves. Maybe next week, Omega's announcement with JR is that he's the real world champion or something, or, whatever the fuck, or he was tired of Punk and, the Young Bucks are going to beat FTR and at Wembley, he's going to beat Punk for that belt. And that's the way he announces that he challenges Punk. You know what I mean? And then we get
that would
Punk
definitely
Omega.
flip. That would break the internet, flip
Yeah.
everybody upside down.
You know what I mean? And then we get fucking Punk Omega and then FTR Young Bucks for the tag titles. And they just announced that fucking Saturday Live on Collision, CMFTR is challenging House of Black for the six-man tag titles.
Interesting.
Well, the Trios titles, I'm
Yeah,
sorry. I'm a
for the
WCW guy.
yeah, well, I am
Sorry.
too. Six man works.
You know what I mean? So,
Six man works, damn
yeah.
it.
Trios titles to be politically
Yeah.
correct. So. But yeah, they announced that now Tony Khan made this match that they're challenging House of Black. So maybe going into Wembley, Punk walks in with two belts, FTR gets to come in with two belts. You know what I'm trying to say? Like to beef up the fucking match more.
Match, and then
Well,
they
because
probably
how
wouldn't do it right after, but in
yeah,
time.
because House of Black has their little feud going on with their, that whole shit. Maybe I don't even, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't even know who they're honestly. Andrade and his people, like Rush or somebody, maybe one of them cost Aleister Black the
Black and
match.
then.
See, I call him Malachi Ma Aleister, so you know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah.
maybe Andrade comes out and costs him the match, or that's when Rush returns and they do something with that. Roosh, I keep on saying Rush, but you know what I'm saying? Like maybe they do something like that and it costs them the tag this the Trios titles and they go about it that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm open
The
to
different
whatever.
swerves that are available.
Yeah, just the possibilities are on the table. It's just a matter of, are they going to pull the red string? And if they were to go down the whole thing that you just laid out, then that would definitely topple the whole SummerSlam comparison, and that would definitely give them a kind of a nice boost leaving out the summer, since SummerSlam was okay, solid, and then let's say that they come out with that, then now it starts to get a little interesting to round out the year, because the end of the year is usually kind of stagnant. It's really just Survivor Series, and let's see like what the hell happens in between and after. But yeah, so I honestly can't wait, but I'm going to assume, because it's Tony, that this is gonna be like a 10 pluser card, because all of them are 10-plus matches.
Here's a
So,
random one for you. Does Goldberg show up anywhere?
you know,
Does he beat up Jack Perry or something? Since they know each other in real life?
I did not know that, but hell yeah. If you can, if you can feng shui like a segment for this new Jack Perry to come out and like talk shit and kind of say something to cue the ref.
AEW's version of the Ziggler feud.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Perfect. He does that. He takes the spear, jackhammer. Good night.
Boom.
Good
And
night.
there's his $1 million plus payoff.
Yeah, $1 million plus playoff. It elevates you. It elevates him. It just, yeah. I will be okay with that. I'd be
I
okay
was
with that.
thinking, like I said, it's just the random, like I said, I had that little bag for you there. I don't know. There's so many different, who knows anymore? And that's what I'm saying. Like, unless I'm completely wrong and it's just kind of one of those okay moments and everything just gets announced slowly and
Just trickles out and it's like, here it is. Like I'm mentally preparing for there to be an Orange Cassidy match on this fucking card because it's
I
the
wouldn't even
all
mind him seeing losing, like have him lose the title finally in Money
I'm
Bank.
okay with it over
Let
there.
Pac come back and beat him
I
even.
was just gonna say, like, you
You
bring
know what I mean?
Pac in or some kind of UK
Grado?
representative. I have
No,
heard that
actually,
name
I
bound.
did Grado and Jeff Jarrett because they were doing that radio interview over there and Jeff Jarrett fucking crushed him with the guitar.
Course.
And then the next day, Grado was on the radio and said, I think I could still go. So the thing that I even heard on the Cultaholic podcast was that the word being thrown around is that Jeff Jarrett and Grado might have a match either on the 0 hour for All In or on the actual card, depending on
Card.
how long the card's going to be. He would get a massive pop. Grado, if Grado's a national hero over in the UK.
Okay,
You know what I'm trying to say?
I have heard the name in passing, but it's like,
You don't know who
but yeah,
Grado is?
vaguely. I gotta be honest, vaguely.
Oh man. He was in TNA, well, Impact, well, both. Fuck. He was in both TNA when it was TNA and Impact right when it turned blue and became Impact. Even around the Global Force days, he popped around on a couple of them random Global Force shows that happened in them ballparks.
Which would explain the
He
connection. Okay.
he's this goofy, chubby, you wouldn't believe it unless you've seen it, goofy dancing fool. Hip hop is Grado and he does these little dances and stuff and it's funny. I don't know, man. Once we get more of this up and running like this, I'm gonna use that feature and pull up the video right on
Yeah.
here. Because now
Okay.
we have, that ability. Once we figure that out the rest of the way, I'll just pop on here and pull up that video or something. But Grado is hilarious. And he had some very good TNA funny moments. So anybody who doesn't know who Grado is, like Ray, check it out. Sorry.
No,
But
but
other matches for Wembley, when they Adam Cole announced that he had booked with Tony Khan that they were going to challenge Aussie Open for the tag titles since they didn't beat FTR for the tag titles. MJF had like this weird face, but then he was okay with it, and then they hugged it out, and everything was good. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe they are going to go the route of we think MJF's going to turn, and then Adam Cole ends up being the one who turns.
that's what I'm kind of leaning towards because I think everyone's so
Everybody kind of is like,
just so expecting the whole devil thing to happen to where now the devil gets backstabbed by like the one friend he lets in and and then it gives Adam Cole something fresh because
to
Lord
be that
knows
hot
they've
heel again. And that's the whole thing. I've been seeing that everywhere now. You know what I mean? Like that everybody's like, yeah, we think Adam Cole's gonna turn. We think Adam Cole's gonna turn. And that just made it so much more obvious. And I just Once they, I won't say once they put so much on TV, yeah, but essentially that, you know what I mean? Like, they boldly kind of give stuff away, you know what I mean? Like, they show you, and then they point it out, like, oh, did you see MJF's face? The way he, you know, has looked his eyes, or the way Adam Cole's eyes looked when he was looking at MJF after he handed him the belt. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, they set it up for, like, obviously they're going to have the showdown in Wembley, but, like, who's going to betray who? You know what I'm trying to say?
It's gonna be like
Obviously, a betrayal is going to happen.
it's gonna be like who's gonna be
Yeah.
the first to the first to go back to form.
Or there will be a couple of them goofy spots where it'll look like Adam Cole's going to hit him or something with the belt during the match, and he's like, no. Max is like, okay. And then I'm cool, you know, they go back to wrestling, and then Max is gonna hit him with the belt, and then I'm cool looks, and he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, you were gonna hit me. And he's like, no, I wasn't. I told you. That's why we remember we hugged. And then he's like, duh. And he's like, I caught you with the belt. And then they start fighting. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I could see something like that, or they hug it out again and then they fight.
Massive,
Yeah.
but potentially fun for All In.
Hopefully. Hopefully
Yeah,
fun. Yeah.
hopefully.
Yeah.
Like in that, and you can't go wrong with a good start time. That's why the pay-per-views and over there are just good, because afternoon wrestling, mid-afternoon wrestling, just perfect.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with a good afternoon show.
Just thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you
Yeah.
for such a lovely time zone difference.
Yeah. And that's one good thing, man. That is definitely one good thing. I mean, do you think they're gonna end up breaking like the, well, I mean, I think it's already announced that they did, but what do you I guess my question's kind of invalid there. I was going to say, you know, do you think they're going to break the record and, you know, outbeat SummerSlam overall?
As
And I think we kind of covered that.
I pretty much
Yeah.
to wrap up the segment, it's pretty much sketched in stone, because what they need, what, like less than 10,000 more tickets sold,
Well, I
and
sent you
that's
that picture and I think they already had passed the number.
they passed the number.
So,
So
yeah.
it's pretty much you know, that's pretty much a notch in their belt. But they just, like I said, you can have all the cool moments and the numbers and the records, but if that follow through is crappy, who cares?
Well, you're exactly right about that. And
And
well,
that's
I'm
just
sorry.
where I'm at.
I keep like giggling and smiling because I'm trying to get okay. SummerSlam 92, when they're out there interviewing the crowd, and everybody thought it was that little boy who look the British Bulldog fan. The British Bulldog is gonna win whether he likes it or not. Well, that was a little girl actually who had that weird bowl cut like that, and they end up finding her again like just like last year or something. And she told her whole side of the story and was on podcasts and stuff over that way. And like some, you know, like the Cultaholic or What Culture guys interviewed her and stuff. And yeah, and she, yeah, it was a very good fun time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've always wondered if that was a boy or a girl, and now that I'm, all right, that kind of makes sense now. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that again, you gotta have that nostalgia there, just that AEW's not gonna have right now, maybe in 5 or 10 years. But here we
And
are.
with that, I mean, I hope it's a great show. And later on in our show, we have a big announcement that we're gonna break. And I truly believe if you stick around, it's definitely worth your time.
Gonna be huge. Like, all right. And hey, in the meantime, in between time, if you're a fan of basketball and you listen to this wonderful podcast, you can check out my basketball blog, Attack the Glass, at attacktheglass.relentless.com. And if you're a diehard wrestling fan, you can check out ringside.relentless.com for more stuff there. There's content up about like every week or so. So just check it out. You know, comment there, follow, share there, and enjoy the content. On the Attack the Glass one, there's a what if segment brewing, and with the Ringside blog, there's sort of a very honest piece coming up about a particular person that is prominent in the wrestling business and his counterproductive influence. We'll just leave it at that, and I'll let you guys figure it out. Just figure that out. Just in between the lines. And thanks for listening. And now we're gonna get back to this kick-ass show.
Yeah. So with that, we're gonna move on to our next subject of the week. And a lot of stuff's been going on with the women's wrestling culture. We just came off a SummerSlam and there was the Ronda Rousey Shayna Baszler match that people picked apart and complained about, the goofy angle that actually everybody in that arena fell for when Bianca went over the top of that turnbuckle and hit
I
them
was
steps, air quotes.
absolutely warned.
That whole arena took a gasp of air and was like worried about her. And it was all like apparently fake and whatever. So much came from the original height of where the women's evolution, revolution, whatever they want to call it, was to where it is now, to where you get 7 minute, 5 minute, 3 minute women matches again. It's just the only difference is they're not bra and panties matches and they're not, pudding bowl matches or Playboy Playmate match. You know what I'm trying to say? It's not all that
Like
goofy shit. It's just
misogynistic
women.
bullshit
Yeah, now it's just
matches.
women wrestling and they get a quick match. Just like some of the mid-card under guys, they just get them quick matches. It's just now the women get the piss away matches. And some people have been critical about them putting the women's match in the piss break spot. You have the first couple hot matches, and then you have a women's match to where everybody's going to get a drink, everybody's going to take a piss. You know what I mean? After you start the show off with Logan Paul and Ricochet, and then you go ahead and have Cody and Brock, and then you want to send out the women. You get what I'm trying to say? So what the f you see where people are complaining about? While I can see it, now this is what I mean.
Hit me with it.
Before I pass the soapbox per se is what I guess the kids say. While I can completely see why people are complaining and what they're doing, and give me a more of a handful great women wrestlers in one company that aren't spread out. You can't do it. You know what I'm trying to say? Either they're injured or they're not there. That's that simple. Even over in AEW, while some of them might be decent, they're not TV ready. They're not strong enough with, that transitionary smooth thing of wrestling to be able just to go. And I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth. And I myself, and I hate to like sound kind of even like a, masculine fucking asshole or anything. I'm just not really a huge women's wrestling guy. Sure, some of the shit is decent. It's good, some of it's good. But a lot of it's garbage. And a lot of what AEW produces and gives us with their women's division is garbage. You know what I'm trying to say? Like it's fucking garbage. And then the women that can actually go, they don't get good spots because then you hear about shit about Britt Baker holding people back or something and some other shit. And then that Lufisto comes out with all that shit about the AEW locker room and the women and all that shit. So, I mean, what do you think about all that?
Just to kind of respond to everything,
Take your time.
the women's wrestling thing, it's something that I've been saying a lot with a lot of stuff lately, and it's not quantity control, it's quality control. And there's a very loose grip on quality control in both companies, but definitely in AEW. Like, it's very clear who are the ones that you can trust to go. It's maybe four or five girls. And then there's this section of another group of girls who are just visually attractive and they want on television and they are trying, but like you said, they don't have the nooks and crannies figured out in the ring. And then there are
Really,
some
let's
who
be
are
real,
just,
the Sky Blues of the world.
the Sky Blues
She's
and Anna
beautiful, but
Sky
she's just
Blues and
not
Anna Jay's of the
completely
world.
ready. Yeah,
The Sky
Anna
Blues.
Jay. See, wait a minute. You said Anna Jay, and I said yeah, but I don't mean that. See, Anna Jay to me just ain't really my type. But everybody like gushes and says she has this like crazy big butt and stuff, and she really don't. Let's be real. And I hate to like even try and have a smoking gun and make a shocking comment or whatever, but. She really don't. She has just an average white girl butt, and her face is like average. She reminds me of this girl that I went to high school with, and she just like ain't my type of person. They're the over cool about having confidence, but like, she has a t-shirt that says she has this big butt. No, you don't. Like, that's be, bro. That would be
But just
like
understanding
lying.
the gap.
That would be like me like lying and be like, I have a dongzilla dong. You know what I mean? Like I'm that black man that sits on the couch when it's naked and they always have the blurred out thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know what the fuck I'm saying? Like
But just yeah, to get back, just with AW's Fields Division, it's literally it's
thanks for saving
Tony.
the show with that.
I try. It's Toni Storm, Jamie Hayter. Whenever she decides to get out of Tony Khan's office, Thunder Rosa, and I don't know where to put Britt Baker.
Thunder Rosa, man. Oh, Jesus
Like I
Christ.
don't know where Britt belongs in this subject. I don't know if she's in the Sky Blue Anna Jay section or is she in the top tier,
I
but
mean,
there's
Britt
such.
Baker's had some good stuff, but she's almost kind of like only been really good in her environment. It's like she's a big fish or in a small pond because. When she was in the WWE pond, she was a small fish in a really big ass pond. You get what I'm trying to say? It was like a lot of them type of, I don't want to say cast offs that came over or tried to come over or whatever the fuck. And now they're getting like their, am I talking cough take like Tay Conti type of people of the world? You know what I mean? Like WWE didn't give a fuck about her on NXT. She goes to WWE, or I mean, she goes from WWE to AEW, and they have her. She's this huge heel character for no reason. Like I seen people calling her Miss Elizabeth, and I'm like, what? You're what? Now, yeah. Anyway, more
But
with the women's division. Yeah, I think, like I said,
it's
Britt Baker can
messy,
go. Just in that
and then
small division.
in WWE it's not as vast, but again it's the same, it's quality control, and you really only have again what 3 to 5 girls that can honestly give you like the decent content. And then everybody else is 50-50. And I know the MMA rules match was ripped apart. And I think it's just because the visual of it.
They went kind of rough at the end, man. After they started getting booed, they went hard.
And so, like, I kind of think that that's part people are fed up with Ronda because Ronda does not endear herself. And part, just the visual presentation of once we heard about it, and then it wasn't like a fight pit or a lion's den. It was just we're gonna do an MMA match in a wrestling
Yeah.
ring, and it doesn't visually hit the same.
They didn't want to spend that money on that.
That's what I figured halfway through the match because
Mm-hmm.
the start of the match I was like, there's no fight pit,
Yeah,
there's no cage, there's no lions den, anything.
they probably hit Ronda with a, well, if you want to pay for it, we'll put it together. We'll figure out a way to make it work. And she's like, I ain't paying for that. Something like that. So I mean, who knows? It's just funny as hell that They wrestled an MMA match in that wrestling ring like it was
Like it
legit.
was,
And that referee tried to be so serious.
yeah. He, God, what?
You know what I mean? He's like throwing all them fucking little hand signals and shit like an MMA ref. I'm like, shut the fuck up, you Eddie Oregano, whatever the fuck your
Yeah.
name is. You know what I mean?
I'm like, you should have just broke the money. You freaking guys are merging together. You like, you know, couldn't borrow Herb Dean for one night.
Anything. Yeah, you couldn't. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you could have got anybody with a name to even be the enforcer for that. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
That, say that's where you have like a Nate Diaz or something come in, or you know, yeah, I don't
So
want to
like a
say Chuck
John
Liddell.
Jones or something like
Yeah,
that.
you know, you can get John Bone Jones. You can get, you know, I don't want to say Chuck Liddell, but some anybody that has an MMA name
Is
that
anyone
might
that's
even
not
be a.
named McGregor?
Yes, essentially that. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. Weird choice. Weird choice. Just to do it so passive and throw away like that. But
It just
that
seemed,
just
again,
shows you, like I said, that they don't really give a fuck. You know, they're just like, eh, women's wrestling.
and I kind of think, like, to get back to what you said, and I,
Sorry, yeah.
no, I never thought of that because I figured that this was too like of a too not much of a good idea, but it's like, oh, okay, well, let's just do this. But if you can get everyone into one little promotion federation and then just be like, here you go, or let's say it's still split and you put the women's division just strictly on SmackDown and leave Raw to do something like just something.
Like, remember for a while the women's division was only on Raw and the cruiserweight
Yeah.
division was on SmackDown.
Yeah,
There was no
like
women's
just go
division on
back to that.
SmackDown.
Like let's
There
just
was
find
no.
a way to go back to that.
Yeah, there was no women's division on. There was no women's wrestling. They had some women's storylines, Dawn Marie and Tori Wilson with the dad thing and the Mr. McMahon with the Candice Michelle, you know, bullshit like that. But like they didn't have women's real wrestling at all on the SmackDown side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On Raw, you had Trish, you had Jazz, you had Molly Holly. You know what I mean? You could go down that list of Ivory and all the other people that worked and could work at that time. You know, it worked better then because they knew they had a limited amount, so they kept them all together when they did that drafting. Now it's all about being equal and
And
fair. And I get that everybody wants a fair shake, but not everything needs to be broken down like that in the world.
I'm so glad you
Sometimes
said
people
that.
lose, and that's okay. People in this new age need to understand that people lose, and it's okay. Not everybody needs a participation trophy to make them feel bad. Motherfuckers, it's okay to cry. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to make you want to try harder next year to get to that championship that you just watched the other team beat you for. You know what I'm trying to say? And
Yeah.
then you have the heartache of losing 5-4 at the end of the fucking game. Oops, sorry. Again, try better next year and keep working. Things happen. You know what I mean? That's the way of life. And that's been so watered down and lost anymore in society. And that's not even a Republican thing at all or anything, because you know I'm not even a fucking Republican.
Neither of us are.
And that's what the whole thing is. Like, somebody was saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, you're right wing. I'm like, the fuck I am? How
Like
dare you?
how am
You know
I?
what I mean?
No,
Like,
it's just
it's reality. It's
it's
reality.
we're
It's
all
honesty.
for the equality,
Yes.
but at the same time, if it doesn't
Not everything
add
needs
up
it.
or make sense,
Yes.
then hey, it's gonna be set of 50-50, 75-25. And that's fine if it means improving. I said it twice now, I'll say it a third time. If it improves the quality of what you're doing. And
Yeah.
with wrestling, particularly women's wrestling and the evolution or revolution, if it means scaling back and going back to 75-25 and you guys don't get as much airtime or certain talent doesn't get as much airtime, just understand that it's just
It's
It's
for the better.
it's for the better, and just at this moment, the women's wrestling talent is the talent pool is really top heavy.
Yeah.
It's top heavy, and there isn't a lot to balance it out. And
Think
we're
of
like
94 through 97, the Alondra Blaze slash Medusa saga. She comes in WWE, after having a great career in WCW and everything, the AWA as Medusa Miceli. She's known. Alondra Blaze shows up. They give her a women's title. She doesn't beat Lula or anything, doesn't have a championship tournament, nothing. Alondra Blaze is handed this pink women's WWF title. Wrestles throughout 94 against random challengers from across the world that would show up as just challengers. Bertha Faye, Bull Nakano, Luna Vachon, just random people who weren't even permanently with the company or were with the company and not there anymore, i.e., Luna Vachon, that would challenge her. And then that was it. Or you wouldn't see Alondra Blaze for 6 months and then she would randomly have a segment on one of the random superstar shows. You know what I'm trying to say? Because it's just how it was. So then comes along, on like Raw, a different type of shit. She would have like random things that happen. Like she was attacked by Harvey Whippleman and Bertha Faye. And Bertha Faye looked, shout out to Goob's mom. Bertha Faye looked just like this kid's mom when we were growing up. It was hilarious. Me and my buddy V, we used to laugh so hard at this lady because she looked just like Bertha Faye. Like the curly, dark, over the top hair with the two little buns and shit. It was over the top funny. So anyway, this would happen and Alondra Blaze got tired of it. And then WCW snooped in and they were like, look, we'll give you all this money, create a whole women's division around you. We'll make sure we get all these people. We're important people from Mexico, Japan. And instead of her looking at that as like, oh, that's what WWE already did, or WWF at the time, she jumped ship, threw the fucking belt in the garbage, and then boom, she's wrestling on WCW Saturday Night against Akira Hokuto. You know what I mean? Or, random people that you never even heard of or never will hear of again. And it's just, I mean, I don't know, man. She
It's
didn't
gonna
have,
come down
I'm
to.
sorry, my word got like lost. I'm sorry, but no, she didn't. The grass wasn't greener on the other side.
No.
They created two different WCW women titles for her at that time. One, and then it was gone, and then the second one, and then she didn't even end up winning the tournament. Sonny Ono cost her the tournament, and then that one, I don't even know how to say her name, won the tournament. And I'm sorry, the elder Japanese lady that wrestles in NXT.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of her name.
Why is it slipping my head right now? It's like running to my tongue, but it's just, I don't understand why I just drew a blank when I went to say who it was. Her, when she was younger, wrestling Medusa on WCW Saturday Night. And it just, you would see these random matches that weren't weekly. There was no women's division then from 94 to 97 before they finally gave up on it. They had some random weird match at Hog Wild, and it was the winner got to smash the loser's motorcycle. It was a crotch rocket versus a Harley, and Medusa came out on the Harley. And the Japanese lady, of course, came out on the crotch rocket. It was a, as they said, a Jap bike on the show, which is not politically correct.
Miko Satomura.
Mike, yes, there you go. Thank you so much. Meiko Satomura, there you go. There would be random matches wrestling her on like WCW Saturday Night and shit. There was no real women's division. Well, then in WCW, Luna Vachon showed back up and they had a couple matches. And later on in life, Medusa tells the story. Originally, they were going to have her drop the belt to Luna, but because Luna wouldn't sign a longer term contract with them or something, they wouldn't let her drop the belt to her. But Medusa was telling that she was going to do it anyway, and Luna was all scared to get in trouble and get Medusa in trouble and stuff, so she didn't let her do it. And Luna ended up never winning a main women's title anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, through that whole time, nobody bitched, nobody complained. Why aren't the women getting a fair shake? Why?
I also, you know what? I've been sitting on this, sitting on this, sitting on this. Here it goes. I appreciate those who are like, women's wrestling deserves better. And there's a lot of people coming to the aid or to the defense of women and women's wrestling. I need this to slow down. I need the over compensating, the overcorrection, the radical extreme, like male feminist kind of thing. I need that. I need that to stop. It doesn't make you a bad person if you're not, social warrioring for women's wrestling to be have equal time or women's like, dude, I get it. Like, dude, I'm with you, but I don't have to. This is gonna sound so harsh, but I don't have to burn a bra to fucking prove it either. You know what I mean?
No,
It's
you're right.
just, and it's just like
Right.
it's really, it's not anything to be harsh. It's just scale it back. Just scale it back. We get it. I get it. You understand. You like women's wrestling for whatever reason, but like you also don't have to be front and center and be like, this is an injustice. It's not necessary. And that's another wonderful thing about wrestling Twitter that's absolutely annoying is the idiotic or horribly done tribalism whenever it comes to preferences for matches, women's wrestling and how it's presented or how it's not presented, or how much time it has or how much time it doesn't have. It's just internet, the IWC, which I'm sure we're going to tap into here
That's what I was
shortly.
just about to say, actually. That leads us literally into our next topic. A lot of it comes from wrestling Twitter. Wrestling Twitter is the most toxic place on the entire internet. It's more disgusting than a lot of shit you'll see because of some of the way that people talk about some of the women that perform in the ways of wanting to literally physically hurt them because they're not their spouse. It's like
Yeah.
so weird. You know what I'm talking about.
It's vile. It's I think I said one day just sitting at home. I was like, if Captain Planet was real, the first thing he would eliminate of toxic waste would be wrestling Twitter. Like he would just immediately be like, let's just wipe this shit out right now.
Yeah, that's a good
Cause
one.
just cause my God. And
It's gross.
it's I don't know. Well, I kind of do know. It's a lot of the. It's gonna be. You know what? I'm gonna be that guy probably this episode. The neck beard, basement. We really haven't had interaction with real women, and we're overcompensating, and we're kind of like women hating, but really we're not. But we like women, but the hot. 8, 9, or 10 won't even pay us attention, kind of shit. So then it's a reaction. You know what I'm saying? No, it's that crowd. It's that like we love Joshi wrestling crowd. It's just like, dude, chill. And you would just think that there would be like a filter, and
You've
there's
seen my
not.
face and knew exactly what I meant. That's perfect.
Yeah, as soon, trust me, as soon as that it came out, I was like, "Oh, all right." Anyway, sidebar, breaking the fourth wall, breaking
Oh,
the fourth
folks.
wall. But nah, it's so
We have our
stupid.
producers chat on the side here. You guys
Yeah,
don't see.
and again, it just, and I think me and you have mentioned it in like the past that just it's this sector that makes us like normal, like within the lines, passionate, smart wrestling fans look horrific. It is this sector. It's the other sector of morons that'll jump in the ring and do stupid shit or say stupid shit. It's just like,
Jump in the ring and say it's done for Cornette.
yeah, it's done for
Oh my
Cornette.
God,
It's done
I
for
hate you.
Lass. It's done for Russo. It's just, but yeah, you
You need
know
at the
what?
AEW show that did it.
Yeah,
What the fuck?
it's like if Elon Musk really wants to make a difference on, I still call it Twitter. I just can't call it X. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
If he wants to really make a difference, then he needs to like figure out whatever system it is to just temporarily block and restrict wrestling Twitter for like a while and just put some again and just do some damage control because there's just some stupid fucking people out there that just that'll just make a fan base look way more horrible and completely opposite of what it really is.
if we say Wrestling X, a lot of people might think we're talking about that Wrestling Society X that used to be on
Yeah,
MTV back in the day.
that's why I'm like, I'm just gonna say
Yeah.
wrestling Twitter, screw
Yeah,
this.
it's wrestling. It's still Twitter, bro.
It's wrestling Twitter.
Yeah.
But nah, it's nasty and it's just as toxic as political Twitter. If not just as bad or worse.
Yeah, I
Again,
was gonna say.
if Captain Planet was around, he would immediately wipe those two out and we would be in such better standing. But here we
Fuck
are.
yeah.
But here we are. And the two in those things or that approach, that way of being is apparently a way of life, which I just can't get with. I just can't get with unless it's absolutely deserving for like real substance stuff. It's just you tagging or mentioning Liv Morgan for no good reason because of a not so smooth part in a match. And again, it always falls back to, okay, then you get in there and do it, which most of you can't. So just stop. It's just fucking ridiculous.
That's
And
yeah. It and that's see, it's us in that group that are able to talk like this and be open about it and be honest about it and say like, look, we're not trying to shit on the women, but we're not sexist. We're not, just giving our honest opinions. We try and do that, and we talk about the different things that they get called out on wrestling Twitter. And we talk about the differences on the Wrestling Revolution and why they're not getting the same thing on Twitter. You know what I'm trying to say? If you try and have a normal conversation on Twitter, and I won't call it X because, like I said, it's weird.
yeah.
If you try and do that, 9, if not 10 out of 10, 9.5, 9.9 out of 10, nobody's going to meet you with a real conversation. You're going to be instantly called something. They're instantly going to attack your profile picture and the way you look. They're instantly, you know what I mean? There's real no way around that.
Just
It's
attack the
only
profile picture, a prejudice thing, or
Twitter
just.
is, yeah, Twitter's the land of everybody's opinion is the right one, and that's it. You get what I mean? It's
And
a big bunch of chat rooms and like, tweets and forums of just my opinion, no, my opinion, no, mine, no, mine. And, this one, you know what I'm saying?
the messed up part is, in between the cracks of all that, there's actually people with like logical, smart takes and ideas and opinions that actually could help things. And it's shit on because there isn't a because there be, because there isn't a hashtag right wing, wrong way, or some stupid shit like that. It's yeah.
Let's be
Toilet.
real.
Toilet.
Let's be real. A lot of people don't want Cornette around because they instantly cling to the fact that he doesn't want to see the wrestling business turned into a terrible disgrace. You know what I mean? It was something he loved. It was something he grew up loving. You know what I mean? And for it to be turned kind of into just Broadway joke. You know what I'm saying? Like a funny high school theater performance is what a, you know.
It's turned into like a
Sorry.
bad, it's turned into a bad MTV2 comedy sketch show.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, sorry, Cornette isn't okay with Orange Cassidy. You know what I'm trying to say? Sorry, he's not okay with the, you know, some of the other goofy shit that they do. It doesn't make him out of touch, doesn't make him any less intelligent, and it doesn't make him racist, sexist, or a meninist, whatever the fuck, how
Yeah.
they decide to change it and say it this week. You know what I mean?
It, yeah, that and just that's a whole different other podcast for us to get into, how just everything switches week to week. There's always a new verbiage or some new offense. Yeah, and this is probably just the grumpy old man take kicking in. So I'm gonna chill. Because I feel it through it. Because it's like, oh, okay, so it's like this week. Got it. I've clearly, just like in Office Space, I did not get that fucking memo.
No, I got you. I got you. But yeah, man. I hope one day it. I guess I can say it this way and not sound completely corny. I hope it gets better.
It almost has to, right? It
At
almost
this
has
point.
to.
Yeah, because it's at the bottom of the barrel at this point. But
Here we are. We're gonna be back. We're gonna can stay stick with us. We still got that big unveiling coming. So stay tuned. We've got to cover a couple more things. Judgment Day, Judgment Day.
Judgment Day, and then our final topic of the night. Sorry, I didn't catch my cue card there. The Judgment Day fallout, he's gonna turn on who with that, and we are gonna cover the dark side of the
Dark
ring.
Ring. Dark
It's
Side of the Ring.
the series season finale this year of Marty Jannetty. So stick around for that.
And we're back. We're back, baby. Here we are. We're back with the next spot. I think it's, and I feel bad because I literally just got my fucking shirt a couple days ago, and I'm gonna be pissed if this ends to the Judgment Day. I predicted at the start of the year this is gonna be a good year. I wasn't happy with Saturday's result because I literally woke up Saturday morning, looked at my dog, and said, "You're gonna be world champion tonight." And then I look like a pompous ass.
Yeah,
So
that
I was like, but
I thought the only way they were gonna put the belt on Finn is so Damian Priest could cash in on him,
like
and we
right then
would have
and there,
had
right?
two new world champions right then and there, almost like what the women did. You know what I
Okay,
mean?
yeah,
That
perfect.
you think Rollins is gonna win, and Finn was gonna come back with that come from behind fucking crazy, you know, maybe even little heel tactic. Bada boom, he wins. And then there's Damian Priest, and he's coming out looking like he's gonna help Finn celebrate. Bam, whacks him with the fucking briefcase and cashes in. He's like, what am I supposed to do? It's my contract. What am I, you know? That's what I was thinking was gonna happen. Not even necessarily thinking it was gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like in one of the realms of what could
Yeah.
happen, you know, because I don't get all set on that shit. And I just was like, okay, it could definitely fucking happen. And it didn't happen. And I was like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I get it. I get it.
I just I'm like there. I'm so glad. Just think about how much difference a year makes. Like at this point last year, it was unsure. You didn't know if they were gonna last another 3 months, and here we are, and they're basically everywhere. They're on Raw, they're on NXT now. They make a couple spots on SmackDown. They're one of the bigger acts, and I that speaks to Triple H's patience and Triple H's vision, and I just and it shows that once you give people a chance to really do their thing, it can pay off, because how many people just were not interested in Dom or didn't care and called him bland and just oh, he's strictly here because of his dad. Fast forward a year, or that horrible limbo that Rhea was in for a long time, that weird limbo
Tag
of
teaming
tag
with
teaming
Morgan
and
and
then
stuff.
doing this, and they finally found something. Priest from doing the whole,
The best friend angle with Liv Morgan was super good. But I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah,
and then
Damian
Priest with the
Priest
whole
doing
angel
nothing was.
devil thing, and I'm never gonna let this go because I love him to death. Damn it, Finn Balor needs a fucking title, and this is probably the best he's been used in quite a while.
In a long time. And I just don't understand why. I thought when Raw got the world title, we were actually going to see, and I'm not saying, quick title changes, like instant title changes, but ones that would mean something. I hope they don't give Rollins one of those Roman runs right off the bat. Because what the fuck? Why do we want that?
Then why have
People
another
want to
title?
see, exactly. People don't want to see another person getting a belt and gatekeeping it. People like seeing title changes after, a few months. Sometimes, if you're an annoying champion, after a few weeks.
Thanks.
You know what I mean? It's just how shit is. And that makes for a good heel if you're an annoying champion, like Jinder Mahal and shit like that. You're able to fucking get that Dominic Mysterio heat type of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I just, that's all I want, and that's selfish because I've been a Finn Balor guy from day one, and I'm just like, can we just can we actually give it to him and like give him some time, since the one time he did, it was just a horrible accident and injury. Like, you know what I mean? Just come on. It really is,
Twelve
it really
hours
is.
or 13 hours, whatever it was,
Yeah, it really is like, okay, like, you've kind of, you've kind of stripped the whole demon thing from us as far as expectations go. Like, can we meet in the middle and give them like a real run of one of the more quality titles?
Although the WrestleMania Purple Demon, remember I sent you that prior to, and I said that's coming, and you were like, oh man. And I was like, yeah, go back and look. You save your messages?
Yeah.
Okay, go back and look in your messages, see if you can find it. Remember I sent you that picture? And I was like, I think it's Photoshop, but it's Purple Demon, and that's fucking dope. And I was like, I seen that they're gonna have a, Hikimadu. And I was like, they're gonna do, Demon Valor versus Brood Edge. And sure as fucking up, what did they do? Demon
Demon
Valor and
Dollar,
Brood Edge.
Brood
I could,
Edge.
yeah. And it was purple fucking Judgment Day, demon type shit. And I was, let me just say it this way. I was not the most overwhelmed by the Edge Finn Balor feud like that leading into Mania. I don't like when they call him Brood Edge.
I don't either.
Like, when did that become a thing? Like,
Yeah.
so now in the flashbacks and the new WWE games, it's going to be unlock Brood Edge. You know what I mean?
I'm like, when did this? And I think that falls into another topic that we've talked off air about how all of a sudden that time period that me and you were in the mix and were diehards, this mass hypnosis was not fast forward to today, and it's whitewashed. Like, oh, I remember. You know what I'm. You like know what I'm getting at. The those people that have usually ridiculed us for loving this,
Oh my God,
and
yes.
then fast forwarding to this whitewashed version that everybody, that all of us were tapped in, and everyone said an Austin catchphrase or a Rock catchphrase. Yeah, I'm not. I think that falls. I would like to think Brood Edge falls under that.
Yeah,
It
because then
fall
you see.
it falls in that sauce, because it's like, That never was said.
Yeah, no. Hell no. That was never a thing back in the day. Like, no. That's what I mean. I can remember specific people exactly like I'm saying, like picking on my friends and I, not even to the point of like a diehard bullying, but yeah, even to that extent, you know, you didn't want to fucking admit it, but it's the truth. These people hated wrestling. They hated you for being a wrestling fan. You were, you know, and I hate to even try and bring up anything like this, but you were gay, is what they would call you. You were gay if you liked wrestling. You were a bitch. You were soft. That shit was stupid. And then they would make jokes like, you know, you like to watch men oiled up wrestle in their underwear and shit like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, all these years later, they're the biggest Stone Cold Steve Austin fans in the world. You know what I
And
mean? They
a
used to
large
all say that they used to all think that they ran around saying suck it and stuff. They're sharing all them memes. You know what I mean? They're sharing all them fucking 90s kids page memes. It's 1998. You have Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin on your TV and with a Surge and Doritos and Life is Great. Meh. You know what the fuck I'm talking about? And then everybody's sharing it like, oh man, that was the greatest. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. You fake ass wrestling fans with your WWE revisionist history and your fake fandom and your Walmart t-shirts with the young Shawn Michaels and the modern day Austin and it says WrestleMania and it's not right accurately at all historically with the pictures. Urgh. And then that annoying WrestleMania 6 shirt and it has Hogan and Savage and Boss Man and Beefcake and random fucking people on there. And I'm like, why does it say WrestleMania 6? And enough people complained about it and then they re-released it and it just says WrestleMania. It has the lightning in the background. It's them Walmart wrestling shirts that they re-released to try and look retro. And then you see these fucking assholes that used to, you know, talk shit on you for being a wrestling fan, walking around with these shirts with their families at fucking Kennywood picnics and shit. You're like, you cocksuckers.
I'm so glad I wanted to tee that up for you, but I was like, let me just loft it up there and let's see. And I'm so glad I did.
It's the fucking truth, man. And I'll go to my grave saying that shit. It's fucking ridiculous, man. Like, these fake fans, man. And it sucks when it's something you love. When you see something like these idiots trying to cling on to wrestling because it's considered nostalgic now to what, like, love the Attitude Era and all that. So now they're pimping that out. They're making these stupid documentaries and these fucking revisionist history DVDs people are getting. And this and that and toys and you know people are having them in games and all this dumb shit and people are just gobbling it up like fucking dumb little sheeps instead of let me just shut up before I say something that'll get us in trouble or flagged or anything and we have some good stuff coming up ahead so let me just
Yes.
not chase anybody away who might be
No.
listening
No. Dark side. Dark
Yeah.
side. To get back on something that is relatively popular but actually has some substance. Dark side of the ring. This season four, not too bad. I have not watched the finale yet, but it seems to be another one of those it starts one way, veers into another way. It's like a split personality episode. But just to make it fun, just from past episodes, what's your most memorable episode? Like your top three, and which episode from this season did you enjoy the most?
Oh, you just took both of our topics and combined them in
Oh
one.
shit.
So that
Well,
was all right.
break it down. We'll
Cool.
break it
No,
up.
no, no. Cool. That
Break
actually,
it up.
I hear me out. It actually sounded a hell of a lot better. So that's a better worded question than the way I was going to handle it. So very good. Overall, I mean, there's been some really good ones, and this is what I was anyway. There's been some really good ones overall. There's also been some really bad ones, like detrimental ones to the wrestling business. That dark side about the fucking the plane ride from hell nearly ruined people's lives. It almost got Flair canceled completely. You know what I mean? I didn't like how they like wasted time doing some other random episodes that didn't need covered. But then I also love some of the ones that weren't really too known that got to have that spotlight. You get what I'm trying to say on that? And to have, I don't even know if I want to say it this way, like to have a modern day generation get to know the Pillman story or get to know the get to hear the Benoit story from the people that were around it and not just a whitewashed WWE version of it.
Or
You
a
know what I mean?
rando Google
Or,
search.
yeah, I was gonna say, or a random Google search because some guy wrote a fucking book about it and tried to sell it. It's, you get to hear a lot of different point of views in the dark sides, and that's great. Then there's pointless ones. And I hate to say this, and this is what's gonna, the most pointless dark side episode is maybe a tie. And one of them was this season for sure, and it was the Abdul the Butcher episode.
Yes, I would put that. That definitely has a good running.
And I mean,
Whole North
obviously, I said
Korea
above.
show one.
Well, no, because then you know, it was pretty cool. You got to hear Bischoff's story about, like, you know, he was jogging, and then, you know, everybody's looking at him like he's a fucking monster. And then all of a sudden he gets back to his hotel and he was like, "What's the matter? I went out for my jog." And they're like, "You are not allowed to go for a fucking jog. You almost got killed." And he's like, "Wait, what?" And they're like, "Yeah, they were gonna, like, you know, kill you. You know, you can't do that. You'll disappear around here, motherfucker. End up in hard encampment type of thing." But you know, that type of shit was cool. But like, you know, why did they need to bring up the plane ride from hell again all this time later after it wasn't already a pimped out story? Everybody was like, "Oh, here we go." And like JR said prior to it even coming out, if I never had to talk about the plane ride from hell again in the rest of my life, I'd be okay. You know what I mean? And just all the different shit that. Anyway, per se, like I said, the Abdul the Butcher one just really kind of had no point. Bash the Beach really kind of had no point. Plane Ride from Hell really kind of had no point. I mean, anyway. Some really good ones. The Magnum TA episode was
Yes.
so fucking good. So good. It's kind of hard to rank them because you don't want to put something above something, and then you're like, no, wait a minute. That
Yeah.
was, you know, that one was actually better. The Luna episode was kind of, I don't want to put it in the pointless category, but it was pretty pointless. We knew, I mean, not even like we knew, but like it was one of them ones that wasn't going to draw the big rating. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
The Nick Gage one.
Oh my God, that is wasteful.
You get what I'm trying to say? Like ones that are like, bro, all right, we can just Google your police record. We don't need to have a
And
whole Vice episode. Yeah.
would like the XPW one be fall in that category too?
Yes,
Yeah, okay.
that was my next thing, but go ahead.
The XPW one was another. I just waste of film. Nick Gage was a
Yeah.
waste of film. The Luna one kind of was, but at the same time, I came out with like a newer appreciation because I wasn't so fond of her. But then once like you hear the stuff, you're like, I get it. Okay, cool. But yeah, you could have probably done that as like a YouTube confidential something,
Yeah,
or
like one
like
of them, a digital extra.
yeah, the perfect. Yeah, as far as the useless ones, as far as some of the top, well, my favorite episode from this season, oh boy,
Magnum for me.
the Magnums up there. No, the whole Graham one, the whole Graham story, I personally wanted more. I wanted more, like more time for them to really,
Yeah,
like to
that was a
really
good one.
hash out the whole family tree, the history, the origin, the input. But again, can't do that in 40, 45 minutes. I gotta admit, it's Bam Bam's episode. It's Bam
Bam
Bam's.
Bam's was good.
Bam Bam's, and just getting the footage and getting the pictures, and then of course the ending, which sucks, but then there's like a silver lining. The wife and the kids were good. The Bam Bam one was good. I'm not a fan of the person prior to watching the episode, but the Doink one, I was like,
That's what I was about to say. Ready for my curveball. The doink one, brother. We talked about that off air. Yeah.
that, and I might be alone in this. The Adrian Adonis episode was pretty good too. The
Yeah.
Adrian Adonis one was pretty good. Junkyard Dog, I was disappointed in because I really wanted them to tap into a lot of the scuttlebutt in the stuff that's seeped out over time.
See, I actually had forgot about that one, and that's the truth about that one is because they didn't have nothing. Like you said, they didn't dig real deep. They just kind of he did this, then he did this, then he did this, and then he died. You know what I'm trying to say? They
Yeah.
didn't really go too deep
They
on
didn't go
everything.
into like the whole tumultuous Mid-South period
Yeah, like
when like
reasons of
all that stuff started to show.
reasons. Yeah, like reasons of why, you know, he made choices the way he did and breathe. Yeah, like shit showing the way you said. And with that, it was so forgettable. And it wasn't even like it was necessarily a bad episode. It just wasn't a standout episode, you know?
I think one other comment. Yeah, but the oh my God, that
And honestly,
and
I
Bash of
mean,
the Beach 2000 is just funny because it's Russo shitting on Bischoff, Bischoff shitting on Russo,
that's all. It's a pissing contest.
Russo and Bischoff pissing on Meltzer.
Yep.
So it's just that's exactly like that's like I don't believe I'm gonna say this, and I would not put this together, but you know, to make but I guess to make Russo happy, it was Crash TV.
Shit.
It was Crash TV. That's exactly what that was.
Yeah, that
It was
was.
just 45 minutes of Crash TV of selective memory delusion,
There you go.
selective memory delusion, grandstanding, and just pure dislike for someone or multiple
I
people.
was gonna say, yeah, you nailed
And
that. You.
then the only silver lining is pretty much Jeff. It's pretty much Jeff Jarrett.
He's the only one that ended up like turning his life around for real and like making the most out of it. And
Making a
he's
go
still
of it.
working active as of this week, even with AEW. You know
And
what I
just
mean?
so yeah, so that's yeah. You know what? Bash of the Beach 2000, Crash TV.
That's so funny.
Maury Povich and Jerry fucking Springer would fucking be so proud.
Oh, did you? Speaking of Jerry Springer, did you see that video? His Will video?
Yes, because you sent it to me, and I have never. I rolled, and I was like, even in a serious manner, this
Yeah.
has to be crashy. This has to be a Crash TV moment.
That's
Like
what he wanted.
the
And come with his last bang like that.
as soon as he unveiled it, I literally was like, this is freaking his, you are the father. You are
Oh yeah.
the father moment. Like, holy shit.
When he's like, my new wife made me hide away my love from your mother because she was a person of color. And I'm like, yep, that's definitely some Jerry Springer shit.
My good God.
Yeah. But I was like, that's fucking interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. But I was like, that's fucking interesting. To end the video when his don't when his the boy's like, wait a minute,
What?
dad?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the daughter's like, oh, damn, I guess Black lives really do matter. And then that his daughter, that the white one that's on the phone, she's like, "Oh my God, I hate you so much, you piece of shit." And then she like storms off the call, like she screams and like cries and storms away. And the other daughter's like, "I don't know what to say right now." Because the two white daughters got left that one house in New Orleans for the people that don't know what we're talking about. And the other two children of color that Jerry Springer fathered got his entire estate. So
It
that's
is a pretty nice state.
yeah, because he had to be absent from their whole lives and made their lives harder from him not being able to be there.
It was, oh my God, I love that. But yeah, man, just Dark Side of the Ring. And far as my favorites, of course, I get a little worked up on it, the Brody episode, because I feel, well, it made me love Tony Atlas even more. The Dynamite Kid episode, yeah, it's rough, but just to see the classic clips was pretty good. And I gotta admit, I don't know if this is me still circling the true crime vortex I'm in, but the whole Jimmy Snuka episode, like still breaks my brain. Still breaks my
Yeah.
brain. And if no one has ever watched that episode, go back and watch it. That Allentown cop is the most suspect, dirty cop. If you could ever draw up a dirty suspect cop, that chief was just slimy, utterly slimy. And I really hope that like someone someday just outright just says, fuck it, makes up a book or docuseries on this and just really does it, because it's fucked, it's eye-opening, and there's just a lot of stuff that they obviously couldn't get into because of the time and probably because of subject matter. But yeah, but definitely
Yeah.
the whole Jimmy Snuka
I
episode
just.
really, really is fucking good. And of course the Benoit stuff is what it is. But
Liz and Savage,
the very
all
first
these
one
different. Yeah,
was
you
like,
know.
the dip your toe in the pool, like
The
here, here.
pilot episode for your favorite show type of deal. And, you know.
And I do feel if this subject wasn't shoved down our throat throughout time, I do feel the Montreal Screwjob episode would have been taken a little bit better. But just because it's been beaten to death.
I will say though, I don't know. I am in that small category of, bro, I think the Montreal Screwjob might have been a work.
Are you really? Oh
Yeah.
my.
Yeah. I do. I just, they're gonna, Brett's so old school, he's gonna go to his grave not talking about it. I don't know. John won't speak about it. Who's ever going to have a chance to talk to Vince about it? They're done with it already. Unless Brett hits that like mark where he's like old and senile, and he's like bah, 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 and like shares all the news. I don't know.
Oh, that's a drop if it is.
It'll be
Yeah.
like the the forever what if of wrestling. You know what I mean? Like the Jimmy Hoffa disappearance, the what ifs, the everybody can make up their own summaries and accusations and thoughts, but nobody's gonna ever know for sure ever. You know what I mean? Triple H ain't gonna end up saying nothing, because who knows if he even knew if it was a work. He could sit there and swear up and down that it was real, but then just them three could even know that it was a fucking work.
And I know I'm flabbergasted that like you brought up the whole work thing. I was like, wow, I would have never guessed that from you, just because me and you were Brett guys. But I guess if someone laid it out to me pretty efficiently, just say, look, man, this is work, then I can buy it. I just think with all the stuff that we've been consumed with the information that led up to that night, it's so hard. I would probably have to reevaluate a lot of things if I ever found out that, like, you know what? That was kind of work. Like, you know, guys, work. But no, to recap the show, you know what I'm saying? We are back. Thank you for listening. You guys are great. We covered All In and Wembley and what that's gonna be. We talked about the women's wrestling and wrestling Twitter. You know, kept up with some current stuff, current events, you know, potential issues with Judgment Day. And we're right now doing our Dark Side of the Ring recap. And you know what? I just thought of this now, and here it goes. If there is a season five, because we know there's always fucking cliffhangers about if there's gonna be a next season with like season shows. If there's one subject that you want them to at least try to cover for season five, what exactly would it be?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Because I thought about it and I'm like, is there something that like isn't so horrible to where it's just like, oh my God, like we can't cover this because it's too messed up?
Yeah, there are probably a few. Like, I don't know, man. Damn, that's.
Like, I don't
Like
know.
ones you can't cover, obviously, or ones they already did cover, we already know, you know.
Or like, you know, could they do like a spin-off, a Strictly Sunny episode and really tap into what's happened or what's happening?
Yeah, I don't really think people really give a fuck that
Well,
much. She burned like
fair.
the fuck out of her bridge with that. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, they're more able to dig deeper and find things, and I'm put on the spot, and I really can't think of something that juicy right now on the spot. And that's a good one. Actually, even with the people listening, if you think one, leave a comment in our thing, in the show post. Leave a comment on any of the socials, or the Spotify comment if you go
Qualify
on YouTube.
comment.
Yeah.
So as soon as we post this on
And
Facebook, and again, if you're on Twitter, we're not going to call the other thing.
thanks for
You,
taking it over, brother.
yeah. Again, if you're on Twitter, we're not going to call the other thing. You can mention us at the Right Hook Pod, and then put your answer for potential season five episodes. I'm sure there's a couple of things that I think we haven't crossed bridges, but that's why they get paid the big bucks to brainstorm for season five. I would assume if this goes on for another 10, 20 years, there's probably going to be a random
Probably, man.
brawl out episode
Well,
or Life After Vince
one
episode.
that I'm sorry, one that I
No.
did think about was Viscera. Would that, like N Nelson Frazier's story, Pat Patterson, you know what I mean? But
I was thinking Pat, but I don't, but I wasn't sure.
like who you could get nowadays, and
Yeah.
yeah, everybody else
If
is
there's,
pretty much dead.
again, if it comes down to something as simple as that, do you have talking heads that are around to really cover the subject and not have random people that just know it from hearsay and Google searches and Wikipedia?
Yep, that's what WWE
So.
does in their documentaries. They have like that. I get Sam Roberts as an interviewer and a fan of wrestling, but they'll have that Sam Rosenberg or Peter Rosenberg and Sam Roberts in these documentaries, and I'm like, why? Because they're friends of the people in WWE. You know what I mean? Anyway, but let me shut my mouth.
No, like, yes, I'm trying to think. Yeah, this might be a little too spicy,
The
but
Andy Kaufman story was good. I mean, you know,
like
they
honestly,
could.
I would like them to evolve that from Tales from the Territory and just do Lawler Kaufman Or something on Lawler, maybe, because a lot of people just know Jerry Lawler for the caricature that like he's been, and they don't know how good of the wrestler and the impact he had prior to just being, just screaming puppies for 10, 15
Yeah.
years. That, or again,
His
this
ring
one.
collocations from 93. Oh, did I say that out loud? Your first
This
announce
one
is.
just popped in my head, and I don't know where this falls on the fence. Could you do like a Lex and Liz episode?
I don't know. I mean, there ain't really much to it. They got together on the whim. They were both leaving relationships they weren't happy with. They did a bunch of drugs together. He used to beat the shit out of her. And then she took some shit and passed out. And then he tried to save her and then called 911 and she was dead.
Because like I immediately thought of that, but I was like, but I was like, is there enough subject matter to get a full episode, or is that
Well,
something you
if you
can
remember on the
drop in?
Savage and Liz episode, they had that whole end segment part with that about Liz dying. And it was that whole Savage or Lex and, Liz story. And I just, like I said, it was one of the things like that's what made me have a sour taste in my mouth for Lex Luger. Because, like, for years, the internet wasn't so huge when we were younger, when Liz died. You know what I mean? And you're a young teenager and Miss Elizabeth dies and you're like, oh fuck, I heard Lex Luger killed her. So you're in school fucking telling your buddies like, did you hear Lex Luger killed Miss Elizabeth? You know what I mean? And that was one of them rumors that you would, talk to your wrestling buddies about. And they're hey man, no way. Yeah. You know what I mean? But anyway, tell them how to follow us on the
Yeah,
internet.
man. You can follow us on Twitter at the Right Hook Pod. Use the hashtag Right Hook. You can follow us on our Facebook page, the Right Hook Pod, and you can join us there and leave your comments or everything there. We're gonna get a couple more things up and running. We're gonna fine-tune the Facebook page. We're gonna really keep updated with the Right Hook, with the Right Hook Twitter. Like, share, follow, sub, everything.
Subscribe, yeah, exactly.
Subscribe,
Anything that you can
share,
do.
like, comment, bullhorn from rooftops. I don't give a shit. Just thank you
Well,
for being with us.
maybe not bullhorn from rooftops anymore, yeah.
Today, the Ozarks exist. Anyway,
Right, yeah.
but
Hey, it
no,
did
but thank
say
you guys for
never.
sticking with us. Like our stuff, like it on all the platforms, share on all the platforms, subscribe on all the platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We really don't talk and tick, but whatever.
Yeah, we don't do the TikToks.
No.
But now we get to the part I've been personally waiting for, the part everybody we've been cliffhangering you on all episode to, have you hold on for. And if you held on, thank you so much.
Yep.
We are
Thank you.
here to proudly announce that we are going to be having the first Right Hook interview, and it's going to be the widow of the late great Bruiser Brody, Miss Barbara Goodish, is going to be a guest on our show next week.
Man.
A personal favorite of Ray.
As a big Bruiser Brody fan, I'm trying not to mark out on live recording. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm a big fan of Brody. I'm currently finally cracking into the book. The book is amazing. It's one of the best gifts that I've ever gotten, and I'm going to cherish that book. That's why I'm taking my sweet ass time reading it. This is like the wildest, one of the wildest dreams come true. We get to interview her and ask her questions and just really evolve the show, and hopefully for people who may know the bare minimum, if nothing, about Bruiser Brody, they might learn a thing or two. Hopefully after our interview, they'll pop him into the YouTubes or Daily Motions and check out some of his work, because it's as time goes on, I really don't want how good of a talent and how much of an impact he had
Yeah.
to be lost just simply because it's decades ago.
That is definitely one thing that I have seen her actually even say. I think it was on the Dark Side episode, and she said that if, when they say, if there was one thing you could say to Frank right now, what was it? And she said, he'd be so excited for me to tell him that, the impact that he has on, this era of wrestling that, he's still talked about to this day. And I can't wait to be able to pick her brain, to be able to ask her questions. And maybe there's some questions Dark Side missed, that I've been personally waiting to ask. You guys are gonna have to wait and see, because I think this episode's gonna be this interview is gonna be epic. It's, it has a
It's a
personal
really
meaning for
big deal
Ray.
for us.
Yeah, it has a lot of personal meaning for Ray and for myself. Ray's a huge Bruiser Brody fan, way bigger than me and a lot of people that I know. So Ray's up there with that. And it was a personal little gift to be able to book the interview for Ray. So please look forward for that and check
And
it
thank
out.
you for that, brother. I you keep living up to the title of miracle worker. You really do.
Barely.
You keep living up to the gimmick.
Going to pull out a Santino Cobra pocket non-miracle Santino. See, I can tie anything into a wrestling pun. Like, yeah. So, yeah, man, absolutely. I'm excited as hell. And I think next week's going to be a great episode.
Fucking
And
awesome
with that,
episode. I can't fucking wait, dude.
yeah, man. And with that being said, Ray, do you have anything else?
Oh, no, just happy that we're back on it. Big things are ahead. And, I think me and you have said it many a times on air and off air. Family does not have to be blood, and I wouldn't want to do this excursion with anyone else besides my, I guess, by definition, wise man.
Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh, that's a huge title to take on, but thank you very much. Thank you very much. And with that being said, one thing I can pull out of the old box from the hook. Ray, give him some receipts.
Right, everybody. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at the Right Hook Pod. Use that hashtag Right Hook. You can email us at rhrpodcast1@gmail.com. And be on the lookout if you're on the Facebook for that Right Hook Facebook page. And until next week, I'm Right Hook Ray.
And I'm Tom Casadega.
See you guys later.
ACS.